Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous discussion, the end of the last shiur, we saw Sancheirev approaching the Kodesh Baruch Hu with a quandary. In the story, we saw the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kiviyochol, appearing as an old man, posing a question to Sancheirev: what do you tell the nations, the leaders of the world, when you take their sons into battle and they die? How do you deal with that problem? How do you inform them? How do you confront them? So Sancheirev responded by saying, I too have that fear. I don't know what to do. So we are now awaiting what is the Eitzah of the Hahu Gavro Saba, who really is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what to do. So at the very, very bottom of Tzadi Heimad Beis, the last two expressions, Omarle, zeal, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, or the old man, as was featured in that story, says, zeal, v'shoni nafshoch. You know what? You ought to disguise yourself. Shoni nafshoch, literally change yourself. Rashi at the top says, shanei atzmocho kedei shalei akirucha, so that they shouldn't recognize you, so that when you do meet with them, they won't put you on the spot. So Sancheirev asks, B'mai Ishni, so how should I appear different? Amarle, so the Gavro Sava says, Zeal, Aisi Li, Maspara, bring me a scissors, V'igzayo Chano, and I will give you a haircut. I will make you look different by as a result of having your looks changed through a haircut. Mehecha, I see. So Sancheirev asks, where should I get a scissors? Amale, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Oil lahu beso, vaisi, go into that house over there and bring them. Ozal, he went, Ashkechinu, and he found them. Osu malachei ashoris v'idmu le kegavri. Angels came and appeared in that house as men. V'havu ko tachani kashyaiso, and they were grinding date pits. Omar le, havu li maspara. So Sancheirev says to the men, give me the scissors. Omar le, whoa, you want scissors? So tchon chad grivo de kashay so v'niten loch. Earn them, so to speak. Come and grind together with us a griva. It's a certain measure, a measure of kashaisa, of date pits, and we will give you the scissors. Tochan chad griva de kashaisa v'yavale masparta. He went and ground together with them this measure of date pits, and they gave him the scissors. Ad de'osa ichshach. By the time Sancheirev got back to where the Gavro Sava, the old man, was waiting for him, it became dark. Omarle, zeal aisinura. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is that old man, kiviyochol figure, says, well, it's dark, bring a fire. Ozal vaisinura. He went and brought a fire. Bahadi de konofach le, as he was blowing into the fire, into the coals, to make it burn better. Idli beinura bidikne. The fire took hold bidikne in his zakan, in his beard. Ozal gazye lereshe vidikne. So he went and had his head and his head, the hairs on his head cut off, and his beard. Omar, Omru, Hainu, Dichtiv. With that, we can understand the end of the pasuk that said, "Vegam es hazokon tispe," and the beard also suffered. The idea referred to above in his getting the scissors by offering service in return, that's also what was referred to in the pasuk that we saw at the bottom of Tzadi Heyamid Beis. The term that appeared there was Betar Haskira, the blade that's hired. Skira, that's something that's hired. In this case, he hired himself out to grind the date pits in order to get possession of those scissors. Omar Rav Popo, Hainu the Amri Inchi. Based on this story, you have the following saying: Garirte la'armo shapir le, itli le nura bedikne, velo savas chuka mine. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Gavirto li armo v'shapra v'yape. Imato mecharech es harmoi. If you singe the idol worshipper, v'hutav beinov, and he likes it. Hav erlo eish b'zikono. So light a fire in his beard. V'lo savas chukomine. And you'll have so much laughter from it. The Gemara continues, Ozal, Ashkach, Dapo, Mitevusa, de Noach. Sancheriv went and he found a board from the ark of Noach, from the boat that Noach constructed during the flood. Omar, so Sancheriv, upon acquiring this particular board, said, Hainu, Eloho Rabo, this is the great God, the Shizve Lenoach Mitufna, that saved Noach from the flood. Of course, this is an idol worshipper mindset, finding something physical and associating it with divinity. So he takes this board and now declares that it's the God that saved Noach. Omar, Ozil Hahu Gavro Umaslich. If I go and am successful, Mikrav Luhu Latrain Benoy Kamoch, I will offer my two sons as a sacrifice to you. Shamu Benoi Vekadu, his sons heard that they were about to be declared as sacrifices, and they killed their father. Hainu Dichtiv, with that we understand the Pasuk that says, Vayihu Mishtacha Vabes Nasroch Elov, he was bowing down to the Nasroch, his God. Nasroch comes from the word Neser, a board that he had declared his God. Vadar Melech Vesharetzer Bonov, he called the Charav. And these two sons of Sancher, Vadar Melech and Sharetzer, his sons, Sancher's sons, killed him at the sword. As we go on to the Gemara, we notice there's a slash mark indicating that that which follows is not a direct flow. However, Rashi points out that since we have been in the midst of a discussion concerning angels, the following pasuk also comes into the play. The pasuk says, "Vayichalek aleihem lailo hu vavodov vayakim." This is in the battle that Avram Avinu waged against the kings in Sefer Bereishis. The pasuk also says, Rashi quotes the other part of this pasuk, Vayhi balaylo hahu, vayetze malach Hashem v'chulei. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, oisoy malach shenezamim lo Avram, the angel that appeared to Avram to help him in his battle, Laila Shmo. The name of that Malach is Laila. Shenemar Va'Laila Omar Hoiro Gever. So we see that Laila in this second pasuk is features an angel. Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcho Omar, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, a second pshat is what is Vayachalek Aleihem Laila mean? She'oso Imoy Maisa Laila. We'll understand that a little bit later. Shenemar min shamayim nilchamu hakechovim mimesiloisam nilchamu in Sisra. We find in the story of Sisra and the battle between Sisra and the Jewish people, led by Barak and Devorah, that the stars served as part of the battle plan. We can refer to it as an early form of Star Wars, if you will. What does it mean the stars were part of the battle? So we take a look at the Rashi and Rashi says, Maisa Laila, She Nilchamu Bishvilo Kochve Laila. The stars fought on their behalf, Kemo She'osu Bishvil Barak. Just like later Barak in his battle against Sisra was assisted by the stars, so too Avram Avinu was assisted by the stars. We can refer to this in a general form as heavenly forces, astrological forces, that are all part of the creation that the Kodesh Baruch Hu made in the world, that these stars are associated with different forces that govern happenings in the world, all from the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. So Laila, as associated with stars, is what came into play on behalf of Avram. Omar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, upon hearing these two comments about the interpretations of the Yechalek Aleihem Laila in Avram's battle with the kings, Reish Lakish comments, Tova de Nafcho, the pshat that Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcho offers is better midabar Nafcho. Bar Nafcho is a reference to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcho pshat is better. Vayirdof Adon, in the story of Avram battling the four kings, it says he chased them till dawn. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kevan Shebo Oisit Tzadik Adon, when Avraham Avinu finally arrived at Don in the northern part of Eretz Israel, Toshash Kocho, he felt weakness. Ro b'nei bonav shasidim lavin avodazor b'don. He saw in a vision, in a prophetic vision, that his offspring would eventually be serving idols in Don. And the following pasuk features that historical event. Shneamar vayosem eso echod beveisel veeso ashen o echod nosan b'don. Yerovam ben Avod, who many years after Avram lived, placed golden calves, one located in Beisel and one located in Don, which was just referred to in the story of Avraham Avinu, where it's at that point he became weak. Omar v'af oisoi rosha lo nizgaber ad shehigia ledon. Nebuchadnezzar himself gained strength when he got to Don. Shenemar midon nishva nechras susov. That when he got to Don, the noises issued forth from his horses were heard. Omar Rabbi Zera afagav deshalach Rebbe. Or there's a Girsi of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, even though he sent the following. There are three points of halacha. The third point will be Hizar b'vnei am haaretz. So even so, a following message after that third point will be featured by the Gemara, sort of a qualification. So that's what this expression here means, afagav, even though the following. We'll see a qualification later on. So let's see what these three points are, and then we'll try to understand the continuation of the Gemara all in context. Afagav deshalach Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, number one, hizaru bezokein sheshochach tamudo machmas onso. Be careful of the respect of a sage, of an old man. Zokein is a person who acquired chochmas haTorah, that even though he may at a certain point in his life forget his learning, sometimes as a result of disease or other effects, he may forget his Torah learning. Nevertheless, if he forgets his Torah learning because of onso, because of forces beyond his control, nevertheless, be careful to respect him. Number two, v'hizaru b'vridim k'Rebbe Yehuda, and in shechting birds, be careful to cut the vridim. These are neck arteries, in addition to the two simonim, the trachea and esophagus. Also cut them to make sure all the blood comes out, because the general practice was that birds were roasted whole. So you wanted to make sure that as all the dam came out of them before preparing them for eating, as is known, blood of animals is usur in consumption in a general sense. Number three, vizaru bivnei amora shemehem teitzei Torah, and also be careful of the respect of children of those who are ignorant. Even though their fathers may be ignorant, be careful to respect their children. Rashi points out, Hizaru b'vnei amoretz, shenasu talmidei chachamim. We're talking about the children of ignoramuses that themselves became talmidei chachamim. La'asus lahem kavod. Be careful of their honor, to serve them with honor. Shemehem teitzei Torah l'Yisrael. From the children of ignoramuses, there will come forth Torah. Sharei yotzu shmai ve'avtayim b'vnei bonav shel Sancheriv. We know that from the descendants of Sancheriv were born Shmaya and Avtayon, Ubnei, and certainly the forebears of Shmaya and Avtayon were no great sheikhs. Ubnei bonav shel Homan lamdu Torah b'vnei Brak, and we find that the offspring of Homan, who intended to destroy the Jewish people, they in fact learned Torah in b'nei Brak. Kidele Kamon, as the Gemara will feature later on. V'afagav diomra b'yuda hochi. Hizaru b'vnei amoretz, even though we are instructed to be careful of the honor of the b'nei amoretz, let's continue now in the Gemara, even though that be the case, ki ha milsa modino lehu, the following we must inform them. And what is that? Tzadik ato Hashem, ki oriv elecho ach mishpatim adaber osach, madua derech rishoim tzolecho, sholu kobogde boged, netatom gam shoroshu, yehu gam osu peri. Let's take a look at the Rashi, who gives two pshatim for what the Gemara has just said. The Rashi is found in the outside column, the top of the page. Ki ha milso dilekamon modina lehu. The following is what we must let them know, inform them. Pshat number one. Ki hechi dechazinon lekamon delo zochen Nebuchadnezzar losu kovod. As we will see later in the Gemara, that Nebuchadnezzar himself was not zoche to the great honor becoming the international superpower that he became, because of the merit of four steps that he took in honor of Hashem's kavod. So too we must tell the Bnei Amoretz, the lo zochu lo oso kavod, that they achieve their honor because of some kind of minor, some kind of merit that their forebears must have had. That even if their forebears were not known as very holy, lofty individuals, nevertheless, they must have had some kind of merit that manifest itself in later generations when these Bnei Amoretz became Talmidei Chachamim. The Isteami, another approach is the Rebbe Zeira, that Rebbe Zeira's comment that opened up this Gemara. Rebbe Zeira said that even though Rebbe Shimon Levi said these following three things, that his comment is Adelei Elkoi, is going on that which was earlier, Abnei Sancheirev, regarding the children of Sancheirev, Afagav the Shalach Rebbe Yudah, his Arab Bnei Amoretz, Lechavdon Shemehem Teitzitor, even though Rebbe Yudah said, be careful of the honor of the children of ignoramuses, because from them, from Dafka, those kind of children, there comes forth Torah, Ki Hechi Denafku Mi Sancheirev, just like we know from the descendants of Sancheirev, there also came forth Shmaya Ve'avtayon, Ki Ho Milsa Modinam Lehu Lebnei Amoretz, Daha demokrin lehu, we tell the Bnei Amoretz that which you receive honor, lav mishum avihem, it's not because of your fathers, ela mishum Torah shebahem, rather it's because of your Torah, shelo tazuach daitam aleihem v'yomru avoseihem tzadikim hayu. We let them know this, that it's only because of their Torah that we are offering them honor, so that they should not become haughty, thinking that their forebearers were something great. So we see these two pshatim in Rashi. One gets the feeling that there's almost an opposite point made, or a difference of an opposite nature in these two pshatim. According to the first pshat, we're informing the Bnei Amoretz that the honor that they have does have something to do with their forebearers. The second pshat in Rashi seems to disclaim any merit that their forebearers has, and emphasizes that the honor that they receive is a result of their Torah learning per se. We saw in the Gemara a pasuk that was quoted from Sefer Yirmiyah, Perek Yud Beis. We read Psukim Aleph and Beis. The pasuk spoke about the righteousness of Hashem, and it also mentioned why is it that the ways of the evil seem to be successful. Specifically, why is it, or how is it, that Nebuchadnezzar was able to capture Yerushalayim? And we see that all those that seem to be of a rebellious nature seem to take root, and they have some lasting power. That's the question that was raised to the prophet. My Ahadru lay. So the question that the prophet raised, that Yirmiyahu raised, what is the response that was given to the prophet? The following pasuk. Ki es raglayim ratzto vayal ucho v'ech titachare es asusim uba eret shalom ato boteach v'ech taseh b'gaon hayardein. To understand this particular response, we need to go on in the Gemara. Moshel li'odom echod she'omar. Imagine the following person that came along and said, Yochol ani lorutz gimel parsois lifnei hasusim bein bitzei hamayim. Claiming haughtily that I can outrun a horse three parsa in marshy circumstances, marshy land. In other words, you have all of these negative features, and even so he is haughty and claims he's a human being against a horse. He's saying he can outrun them in under marshy circumstances. Nizdamin lo ragli echad, a runner came to this fellow claiming claiming he has all these sports abilities. So this person come, this ragli, a person that walks on his feet, came. Rots lefan of gimel mina biabrosha v'nil e. He was able to outrun this haughty individual three meal, which is much less than three parsa. One parsa has in it four meal. He was able to outrun him three meal on dry land, and the original fellow who was so full of pride became exhausted. Mule is tired out, exhausted. With that mashal in mind, let us continue with the Gemara. Before we go on, though, let's take note of our topic heading and also the structural note that will explain the next house markings. The structural note it offers as the topic the Nose, Tamiha, a wonderment, Ech Rishayim, like Nebuchadnezzar, Matzlichim, how are they successful? And number two, Zechus Dalet Psios, Sherotz Lechor Hashem. The Gemara will feature the four steps that Nebuchadnezzar took in honor of God. And we have the Mivneh, we have this house marking. These house forms are Rishima Shel Tamios. Just, it's a list of amazements. Omar Leh. So we heard this mashal given about the haughty runner who was shown to be actually very incapable in the final story. Omalei uma lifnei ragli kach. Mind you, in front of, and can you imagine? Here you have a fellow who's claiming he can outrun horses. So here against another fellow runner, look what happened to him. Lifnei hasusim al achas kama v'kama. Can you imagine how much he would have lost being challenged by actual horses? Uma shloishes milin kach. Mind you, in the short span of 3 mil, look what happened to him. Gimel parsos al achas kama v'kama. Can you imagine what would have been after three parsa is actually 3 times 4 mil is 12 mil. Uma biaboshekach. Mind you, this all took place on dry land. Bein bitzei hamayim achas kama v'kama. You can imagine what would have been a race under marshy circumstances. Afata, so to you, the prophet, that you raised a sort of amazement at the success of the evil. Did you ever wonder where the evil, what's the source of their success? So here it is. Uma beschar arba psios, sheshilanti loisa rosha, she rots achar kvodi, ata tomea. You are tomea, means you're amazed. You're amazed at the success that I have paid that particular evil man, Nebuchadnezzar, in reward for four mere steps that he took in my honor. Can you imagine the schar that I am giving to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who ran in front of me with the conviction and force of horses? Hainu dechiv lanavim nishbar libi bekerbi rochafu koas moisai hoisik ish shikor ukegever avoro yayin b'tnei Hashem u'mitnei divrei kotsho. With this, we understand what the Novi says. I was like a broken-hearted man, like a drunken man. We can say all shaken up as a result of what the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me. Having mentioned that there was schar, there was reward for some four steps that Nebuchadnezzar took, the Gemara wants to know what exactly were those four steps. So we continue in the Gemara, noticing to the immediate right-hand side of Mor, an arrow. This points up 2 lines to the David expression arba psios, and here the Gemara asks, Hani dalet psios, also dashed underlined, to create this sense of connection between that which was mentioned earlier. My he, what are those four steps? Now the Gemara gives us background to those four steps. The Gemara continues with a pasuk from Sefer Yeshaya, which features the Babylonian king becoming aware of Chizkiyo HaMelech's salvation from a deathly illness. And as a result of that, this Babylonian king, Baladan ben Baladan, tries to strike up a communication or a connection with Chizkiyo Melech. And that takes place through, you'll see soon, the intervention of Nebuchadnezzar. Bo'esahi, Shalach Merodach Baladan ben Baladan, Melech Bovel Sforim. The continuation of Pasuk says, El Chizkiyo, Vayishma ki chola vayechazek. The Gemara asks, what's the reference of each expression to the other in this particular pasuk? Mishum ki chola Chizkiyo vayechazek shodar leisforum umincha. Because Chizkiyo HaMelech was ill and became stronger, he recuperated. That's why the Babylonian king sent him letters and a gift. So the Gemara says, in fact, that's what happened. Lidrosh hamofes asher hoya ba'aretz. That which aroused the Babylonian monarch concerning the recuperation of Chizkiyahu, it's because of a miracle that took place. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oysayom Shemes Boy Ochoz, Shtei Shoyes Hoya, the day that the evil King Ochoz, who was the father of Chizkiyahu Melech, the day that he, Ochoz, died, had only 2 hours of daylight. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu caused the sun to set early, so that there would be no time to offer any eulogies on his behalf. When Chizkiyahu recuperated from his ailment, those missing 10 hours of, let's say, a 12-hour day, those 10 hours were restored. What does that mean, they were restored? So if your basic day has 12 hours of daylight, and now you add another 10 hours, you're going to have a day that has 22 hours of daylight. Dikosav, hinani meshiv es tzeil hamalos asher yordu b'malos ochoz b'shemesh achoranis eser malos v'toshev hashemesh eser malos b'malos asher yordu. In this pasuk, there's a reference to the return of the sun that had been lost, the loss that had been experienced in the time of Ochoz. Amale, my high. Now, if you have many more hours of sunlight than you ordinarily would expect, it wasn't felt just in one location. It was felt over the entire world. So Merodach, the king of Babel, asked, "What is going on?" Amrulay, they informed him the following: Chizkiyahu cholash v'ispach. The king of Israel, Chizkiyahu, had taken ill and recuperated. Omar Merodach said, "Iko gavro kihai." Is there a human being like this that, as a result of his well-being, there was a supernatural change in the movement of the sun? V'lo ba'ina lishduri le'ishama, and I don't need to offer greetings to him? Of course, it's a man of such enormous stature, certainly needs to be greeted. Kosfu le. So Merodach Baladon arranged for the following to be written. It's important for us to note the order of citations. Shalmo lemalko Chizkiyahu. Greetings to the king Chizkiyahu. Shalmo lekarta Yerushalayim, and greetings to the city of Jerusalem. Shalom leeloko rabo, and greetings to the great God. Nebuchadnezzar, Safrei de Baladon Have. Nebuchadnezzar was the scribe of this Babylonian monarch. Hahi Shaito lo have a hosom. When this letter was prepared in honor of Chizkiyahu, even though he was the court scribe, Nebuchadnezzar himself wasn't there. Ki also, when he came back, Omar lehu, hechi kasvisu. Nebuchadnezzar inquired, "So what did you write?" Omule hachi kasvinon. And they told him, Nebuchadnezzar, we wrote what we just saw, the three points of greeting as was featured in the line before. Omar lehu, so Nebuchadnezzar, upon hearing this, says, "I don't understand how you ordered things like you did. Karisu le aloka rabba, you referred to their God as the great God, because visu le libasof, and you make reference to him only at the end? That's not sufficient honor due to the great God." Omar elo hachi kasovu. Nebuchadnezzar continues to say, "Rather, thusly, you should write. Shalom lo korabo. Shalom lekarat Yerushalayim. Shalom lemalko Chizkiyahu." Notice how Nebuchadnezzar places the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the primary position. Amrilei, so he said to him, to the others that prepared the letter, incorrectly will say, said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Karaino digurso ihu leve parvanko." Literally means the one who reads the letter, he should be the messenger. In other words, it's your idea, you ought to do something about it. Rohat Basrei, so Nebuchadnezzar ran after the one who was carrying the letter to Chizkiyahu. Kidiroyat arba psios, as he took 4 steps. Notice we've dashed, underlined the expression arba psios again, and once again you have an arrow in the margin to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating to connect this up with the previous arrows that you saw on the page. So you have Nebuchadnezzar going four steps out in defense of the honor of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Also Gavriel the Ukmei. Gavriel came along and stopped him. If not for the fact that Gavriel appeared and stopped him, there would have been no salvation for, this is a euphemistic expression, it says the enemies of Israel, but it's really a reference to Israel themselves. It's very interesting to note how we saw in an earlier Gemara, Nebuchadnezzar being, we saw him in the story of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah put in the Kibshonesh, and they were saved. And at that point, he broke out with shira, with praise of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara there said that we should pour molten gold into this man's mouth, and in order to stop him from continuing saying praise of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. At that point, the Gemara said, had he continued his praises of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, he would have eclipsed Dovin HaMelech and his Tehillim. The Gemara asks now about this king that was featured above, Merodach Baladon, and it inquires, why does he have as part of his name his father's name? My Baladon ben Baladon, why does the son have his father's name in his own name? Amri, Baladon Malkahave. Baladon was the king of Bovel. Vishtani ape vahaviki de kalbo. Something happened and his face became contorted and ended up looking like a dog. We'll call him the dog-faced king. Havi Yosef Brei al Mahusa. Because of that situation, he had to become inconspicuous. So his son took over while his father was alive. He have a kosiv, when he would sign royal edicts, have a kosiv shmei, Ushmei Davua Baladan Malka. He would sign his name Merodach, but part of that he would also use his father's name. He would call himself Merodach Baladan Ben Baladan, so as to ensure that honor would be bestowed to his father all the same. Hainu Dechiv, and with that in mind, we can appreciate the pasuk that says Ben Yechabed Av V'Eved Adonov. The Gemara now goes over the two points that we just numbered off in this pasuk. Number one, Ben Yechabed Av, a son honoring his father. Ha Damoron, that which we just featured, how this Babylonian monarch was so concerned with his father's honor that he used his father's name in signing royal edicts. The Eved Adonav, what's the example of a servant that respected his master? Dechtiv. The pasuk says, "V'chodesh hachamishi v'asol chodesh he shnas chasrei shana lemelech Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel, ba nevuzradan rav tabochim omad lefnei melech Bavel biyushalayim v'yisrof es beis Hashem v'es beis hamelech." This pasuk is featuring the time at which the Beis Hamikdash Bayis Rishon was destroyed, and it says that Nevuzradan, who was a we'll call him a chief executioner, he came and stood in front of the Babylonian monarch in the city of Jerusalem. So you have this temple destroyer destroying the Beis HaMikdash, which was of course in Yerushalayim, in the presence of the king of Bavel. Umi Solit Nebuchadnezzar Yerushalayim. Did Nebuchadnezzar ever come to Yerushalayim? V'oksiv Vayalu Oysoi El Melech Bavel Rivlasa V'omar Rav Yavol Zu Antuchia. And another pasuk says that Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, who was the king at the time of the destruction of the temple, was sent to the Melech Bavel in Rivla, which is known better as Antuchia. We see then, at the time of the destruction of the temple, the king of Bavel wasn't in Yerushalayim whatsoever. He was somewhere else. Rav Chistov, Rav Yisok, Bar Avdimi. These two Amoroim will explain the previous pasuk that indicated the Melech Bavel being in Yerushalayim when in fact he was not. Chadomar demus diukno hoiso chakuko lo al merkavto. One version is that the image of Nebuchadnezzar was etched out on the chariot of Nebuzradon. The Rashi on the third line from the top in the outside column of commentary says, Chakukolo Amir Kavto, Shel Nebuzradon, V'doimelo Kemoisha Milifonov. It was as if the king was in his presence, because he, Nebuzaradan, had a chariot with his image on it. And that's why it says that Nebuchadnezzar came to Yerushalayim, when in fact he never did. V'hainu kavo, this is the honor that we were speaking about before, about a servant, in this case Nebuzaradan, showing honor to his master, to the king, creating a situation that this servant always felt his master's presence. V'chadomer, continuing the Gemara, and the other version is, even without some type of visual prop, this servant Nebuzaradan had such fear of his master, it created a situation where it was as if the king was in his presence. Omar Rova, Toin Tlas Mea Kudnaiso Narga de Parzalo de Sholi de Parzalo. The Gemara at this point is going to be describing, until the bottom of the Omid, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that was carried out by Nebuzaradan. So Rava tells us that 300 mule loads of special hammers. We see an expression in singular quotation marks, Narga de Parzala, de Sholet de Parzala. These are iron hammers that are able to smash iron. So at the time of the Churban HaBayis, there were 300 mule loads of these hammers, Shadar Le Nebuchadnezzar de Nebuzaradan, Nebuchadnezzar sent to Nebuzaradan, Kulu Balasinu Chadosha de Yerushalayim. They were all absorbed, they were all like used up on one door of Yerushalayim. In other words, the doors, the gates of Yerushalayim are described here as being so solid that even these special weapons were not able to have any effect even on one door. Shenemar, Pitucheo Yachad B'chashil V'cheilapois Yahaloimun. Let's take a look at a couple comments in Rashi. The Sholet Beparzela, Barzel Chadud, Hakoitzeitz Barzel Acher, some type of very special sharpened iron that's able to smash other iron. Belasinu, Rashi says, Lo Blio Mamish, it's not as if the gates absorbed these hammers literally. Ella Shibram, the smashing of the hammers on these doors caused the hammers to be broken. The hammers became smashed as they were beating upon the gate in order to break it. The pasuk says that we had read Pitucheo Yachad. Rashi on that says Mashma al Pesach Echod Holmu Kol Hakshilim V'Chelapos Yachad V'lo Ho'iu Klum. The pasuk indicates that all of the hammers were used up on one door and had no effect. They saw the Babylonian army saw that it wasn't making any progress. Bo Nemehader. The Nebuzaradan wanted to withdraw Omar, and he claimed, Mistafino de lolev dubi ki hechi de ovdu besancheriv. I don't want to happen to me what happened to Sancheriv. We saw in the previous Gemara what actually happened to Sancheriv, that his whole army, all his generals, were killed out in one evening. So Nebuzaradan became a bit wary. He saw that he was making no progress. Nofka kolov yomar. A heavenly voice came forth and said, Shavar Bashavor, Nebuzaradan Shavor. Shavor is someone who's delayed, a jumper. So he's referred to that. Rashi explains that it's possibly in the second shot Rashi offers it because he was part of Sancheriv, who had this ability to jump quite a distance in one day, so to speak. We saw that in that previous Gemara. So he's referred to as a jumper. And the heavenly voice addresses Nebuzaradan and says, "Demota zimno demikdasha choriv vehechlo mikli." The time has come for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed and for the hechal to be burnt. Poshle chad narga. He had one of these arms left, one of these hammers left. Also machie bekupa. He took the hammer and hit the gate of Jerusalem with the back side of the hammer, not even with the sharp side of it. The iftach, and the doors opened. Shenemar yodea kemevi lemalo besvach eitz kardumois. Havekotel vi ozal ademoto lehechlo. He was killed. He killed people, killed them, lots of people, on his way until he actually reached the Heichal. The Heichal is the structure of the Beis HaMikdash that contains in it the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach HaZov. Adlik Bei Nura. He tried to light it, tried to put it, set it on fire. Gova Heichlan. The Heichal rose up in the air. Dorchu Bei Min Shemaya. But from heaven it was pushed down. Shenemar Gas Derech Hashem Lufsulas Bas Yehuda. The gas is a press. So it was like pressed down by Hashem. Kozicho Daite. The Nevuzradan started to feel very haughty that he was successful. Nafka Baskolo V'Omrele. A heavenly voice came forth and told him, there's nothing for you to be haughty about. Amo Ketelo Kapis. You killed a dead people. Hechle Kalio Kalis. You burnt a burnt sanctuary. Kimcho Tachino Tchinas. You ground already ground flour. In other words, you did nothing on your own. All of the defeat of the Jewish people was heavenly ordained, and it's not a result of any inherent power that you may have. Shenema Kri Rechaim V'tachani Kemach Gali Tzamosech Chespi Shoveil Gali Shok Avri Nohoros. In this pasuk, we've dashed, underlined Kemach, the word Kemach. Chitim Lo Nemar. The pasuk talks about the grinding of flour. It doesn't say what's normally ground. What's normally ground? Wheat is normally ground, but it doesn't say that. Elo Kemach. It says, it refers to the grinding of flour, meaning the grinding of something that's already ground. As we said before, the analogy being the burning of something that's already burnt. Chaza Dome de Zecharia, Dehave Korosach. Nevuzradan noticed the blood of an earlier prophet, Zecharia, that was bubbling, that was boiling. Amar lehu mayhai. So Nevuzradan said to the locals, "What is this? What's this? This pool of blood that's boiling?" Some was certainly a miraculous image or vision. Amru le dom zvochim hu deishtapach. He says that you don't really have to pay attention to that. That's the blood of sacrifices that's spilt. Amar lehu. So Nevuzradan is a little bit circumspect, a little doubtful, and he says, "I see ve'ansi e medamu." Bring other animals, let's slaughter them, and ansi is like nisui, to let's run a test and see if the blood that's boiling over here is like, resembles that blood, that animal blood. Kasi, they shechted, they slaughtered animals, below idmu, and it did not appear like the blood that was bubbling. Amalahu, so Nevuzradan said to them, Goluli, you better reveal to me what this is, ve'i lo, and if you don't, sarikna l'chu l'bisraichu b'masreka d'parzel, I will comb off your flesh with metal combs. Amrule, so they were forced to reveal what this really is. Hai kayin v'navihu, this is the blood of a kayin who was also a prophet. The invi l'chu l'Yisrael b'chorbona d'Yerushalayim v'katlu, he prophesied concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, and as is often the case, some people don't like to hear certain things, so what do? They just kill off the person that's saying it. And that's what happened to Zechariah. He prophesied concerning the destruction of Yerushalayim. Those that heard it didn't like it, so they killed him, and this is his blood. Omar lehu, ano mefayasno le. So Nebuchadnezzar said, I will appease this blood. How did he appease them? How did he try? I see Rabbonon kotel iluya velonoch. He brought sages and murdered them in an attempt to appease the blood, and the blood didn't stop boiling. I see Dardiki de Beirav, he brought the children who learned Torah in their Chadorim, in their Talmudei Torah. He killed off these children, he murdered them, Koteluya Velonoch, and that didn't appease the blood either. I see Pirche Kuna, Koteluya Velonoch, he brought the young Kohanim who used to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was not appeased. Ad di kotel iluyo tishin v'arba ribo. This continued until he killed off 94 times 10,000. 940,000 people were murdered in the attempt to appease this blood, the lonoch, but it remained unappeased. Karov l'gabe, he drew closer to this blood, Omar, and he said, Zecharia, Zecharia, toivin shevohen ibadetim, the best of them I've murdered, nicholoch diktolinu l'kulu, would you like me to kill them all off? Niadnoch. And with that, the blood became appeased. Nevuzradan was shocked out of his wits. Hear her tshuva b'dayte. He contemplated penitence and said, Omar, and he reasoned as follows. Mahen shelo idu elo nefesh achas. Kach, mind you, they who essentially killed one person, they killed Zechariah, and look at the fate that they suffered. Hahu gavro amate ve'ele, regarding himself, he now killed 940,000 people. What's going to be with him? Orak, he escaped. He ran away. Shada putisa lebeise vizgayer. He sent a will what to be done with his personal belongings. He simply ran away and vizgayer and converted. Tonu Rabbonan. The following Tanaic source features some very prominent people who we can almost say prominent enemies of Israel. And let's see what happened. Naamon ger toshev hoya. Naamon, who was a figure, he was a general of the army of Aram, who was featured in the story involving Elisha Hanavi. When he was saved by Elisha, was healed from his saras, he decided to become a ger toshav. This is a person who doesn't take upon himself all of Judaism, but rather he accepts upon himself the prohibition of idolatry. Nevuzradon ger tzedek hoya. This Nevuzradon that we just learned about in the Gemara became a full-fledged Jew, a full-fledged convert. Mibnei bonav shel Sisra lomdu Torah b'Yerushalayim, from the offspring, from the descendants of Sisra, who waged war with the Jewish people. From his descendants, there were those that learned Torah in Yerushalayim. Mibnei bonav shel Sancheriv limdu Torah b'Rabin. There were offspring of Sancheriv, who was responsible for the destruction of the entire northern kingdom of Israel, who ended up teaching Torah in public. Umanin, who were those descendants of Sancheriv? Shmaya the Avtalion. And they were the Rabbeim of the famous Hillel and Shammai. Mibnei bonav shel Homan lomdu Torah b'Bnei Brak. From the descendants of Homan, who schemed to destroy all of the Jewish people, as is well known from the Megillas Esther, the Purim story, his descendants learned Torah in Bnei Brak. The Afmi Bnei Bonav shel Oisa Rosh Abikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachnison Tachas Chanfei Hashchina. And even the descendants of Oisa Rosh, that evil man, that's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was willing to accept them under his wings. Omru Malachi Asher Sinai HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the angels intervened and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said to the Almighty, Ribbono shel Olam, Mi shehichriv es beischa v'sarf es heicholecha. He who destroyed your Beis HaMikdash and burned the sanctuary, tachnis tachas kanfei Hashchina, you're willing to accept them under your wings? Hainu dichtiv, ripinu es bavel v'lo nirpasa. There was an attempt to heal Bavel, but it was not healed. We see a couple of pshatim now regarding this pasuk. Ula Omar ze Nebuchadnezzar. This is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, that which we just learned, that there was an attempt on the part of the descendants of Nebuchadnezzar to come into the fold, so to speak, and Velonir pasuk, but they were not allowed. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omar elu Naharois Bavel, the Tirgumal de Tzinaisa de Bavloi. This idea of Ripinu as Bavel, Velonirpasa, there was an attempt to heal Bavel, but it resisted healing, is a reference to these Tzinaisa de Bavel. The Rashi explains at the end of the outside column of commentary, Elu Naros Bavel, Shehem Royim Lishtos. The water there is not fit for drinking. Tzinaisa de Bavel, the Kolim Morim Haim, there are bitter palm trees, Sha'indim Vinaharos, that stand at the on the banks of these rivers, the rivers of Bavel. Omar Ula Amon Umoav Shivavi Bishi Yerushalayim Havil. Amon Umoav were bad neighbors of Yerushalayim. In other words, on the border of Eretz Israel, in the area of Yerushalayim, there were the nations of Ammon and Moab. Before we go on, we have a tatnose, a subtopic heading here. On the outside margin, Ammon and Moab hoyu shchenim royim, hisitu es Nebuchadnezzar lavo lahachriv es hamikdash. They seduced Nebuchadnezzar into actually coming to do the destruction of the temple. So they were instigators. When they heard, the Ammon and Moab people heard the prophets of Israel prophesying concerning the upcoming destruction of Yerushalayim, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, now's the time to come. Omar, so Nebuchadnezzar, though, as we'll see in this Gemara, wasn't so hasty in coming to destroy the Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. He said, "Mistafino de lo levdu li ki de avdu bekamoi. I don't want to happen to me like they did to my predecessors." We saw already the story of Sancheriv, who preceded the Nebuchadnezzar by a number of years, and what happened to him when he tried to come to destroy Yerushalayim. Shochule, we saw the line before a triangle. Let's not fail to explain the role of these triangles. The triangles are, of course, a series marking, and the mivneh, heading, the structure that we have in our outside margin, hasotas amonamov. We will see their words of instigation as we go on in the Gemara, and we'll be using a squiggle underline to indicate tshuvos shel Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's responses to each one of their attempts to seduce him into coming. So, we saw already, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, come. Come on, Yerushalayim. Nebuchadnezzar already responded. We saw the initial response. I'm afraid. Shochule. So they sent back. Ki ein ho'ish beveso. V'ein ish el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were telling him, God is not home. He's not around. Shenemar Hashem ish milchama. This pasuk is brought in to show that the term ish could be used as a reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that you don't have anything to worry about. Shalach lehu, so Nebuchadnezzar says back, Bekreva hu vasi, he's nearby and he'll come back soon. Rashi says, Bekreva hu, Bekorov hu, he's nearby, Vyovo be'es dochakom, and he, God, will come when they are under pressure. Lefi darko shomikro ze, shame shochulo, shomim onu shehu, ako milsu da hava amri le, hava meshiv dover ze. That for everything that they said to him, he had some response. So, in other words, what they say is featured by the pasuk, and the fact that they continue with their instigating remarks, we can assume that he had a response for each thing they had said. So just now, what did we see? We saw the Amon and Moab claiming that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not home. He says back, well, he's nearby, he'll come back when they're under pressure. Shochule, so Amon and Moab said, and this is a quote from a pasuk, in this case it's Mishlei Perek Zayin Pasuk Yutes, Holach Bederech Merachot, he's gone far away. Sholach Lehu, so he says back to them, Islu Tzadiki Debo Rachami Umaisulei, the Jewish people have amongst them righteous ones that they will pray and bring him even if he is far away. Bring him, of course, we're referring to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shochulei, so they sent back to him another posuk, it's the next posuk in Mishlei, Perek Zayin posuk, in this case posuk Chof, Tzror HaKesef Lokach Biodo. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has taken with him a Tzror HaKesef, it's a reference to the Kesef is a reference to Tzadikim. In other words, the Tzadikim have been taken by the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They've died. The Ein Kesef Ela Tzadikim. Shenemar, this is another pasuk that will prove that Kesef is a reference to Tzadikim. Vo ekreha li b'chamisha osar Kesef v'chomer sorim v'lesech sorim. In this pasuk you see a reference to Chamisha Osar Kesef. Rashi points out that this particular pasuk is darshined elsewhere, and from that particular drasha it is revealed that the reference to Tzadikim is made by the term Kesef. Sholachlu, Nebuchadnezzar sends back, well, okay, maybe there are no tzaddikim left amongst Israel. However, Haji Rishi B'tshuva, the Rishoyim amongst them, even the evil ones amongst them, they may do penitence, Ubo Rachmi U'maisile, and they will daven and bring the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even if, as you claim, he's far away. Shochule, Amun Moav sent back, Kvar Kova Lohen Zman. Rashi says, "Kvar kovel emzman shelo yovo ad shivim shana shetashim golos bavel." He has gone away, and he's not coming back within 70 years. At which point, the Babylonian exile will come to an end. But within 70 years, he's not coming around. Shenamar, the Gemara continues by saying, "Liyoyim hakese yovo beso." The ein kese elo zman. Only at the appointed time will he come home. Shenamar bekese liyom chagenu. The word kese, you can see, is used in juxtaposition with the word yom, means a fixed time. Shalach lehu. So Nebuchadnezzar sends back sisfahu. It's the cold season. It's the winter season. Velo matzino de osi mitalgo umimitra. And I can't come with my forces because of the snow and the rain. Shalchule. So they say back, we've got an idea for you. Even so, to ashina de tura, come by way of the lower parts of the mountains, and the mountains will serve to protect you from the snows and the rains. Shenema shilchu kar moshel eretz misela midbora el har bas tzion. Sholach lahu. So he sends back to them, iasino. If I come, lesli duchto the asivna bay, I'll have no place to encamp. I'll have no place to sit, to be located. Sholchulei, so Amon Amoav said back, you have nothing to worry about. Kevora shelahem meulin mipaltirin shelacha. Their graves are better than your palaces. In other words, you can exhume all of the people, all of the buried ones in their graves, and you'll have where to be. Dichtiv, be'esahinu mashem yotziu es atzmos malchi Yehuda ves atzmos sorov ves atzmos hakoyen ves atzmos anavim ves atzmos yoshu shan mikivrayim. The time will come that the bones of all those buried in Yerushalayim will be taken out, and they'll be cast out to the under the sun, and is exposed to the sun and the moon, and to all the heavenly bodies, asher ahevum, that they loved, vasher avodum, that they worshipped, vasher holch lacharem. In other words, you see in this pasuk the whole idea of these people being exhumed, sort of as a measure for measure, that they who had worshipped the sun and the moon will be then cast out of their graves to be under the sun and the moon. And, of course, that there will be place, there will be room for Nebuchadnezzar and his armies to camp. You notice in the Gemara, slash mark, that indicates that which will follow is a new idea. In this case, it's a brand new idea. Having come off the heels of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we now go to the other extreme, a sugya that will deal with the Moshiach. We've noted on the side Nosei Kloli, a general topic, and we've indicated this goes to Tzadi Tesam and Aleph. Omalei Rav Nachman the Rabbi Yitzchok. Mi Shmi Aloch Emas Osi Bar Nifli. Have you heard what the time of arrival is of Bar Nifli? Immediately we notice a bracketed section. At the end of the bracketed section, the Gemara will provide an answer. The question was just asked, do you know when Bar Nifli is coming? And at the top of the Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, you have Rav Yitzchok's response, Amar Leh Hochi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dor Shebe David Bo Tamidei Chachamim Mismatim, etc. He will offer a response describing the generation in which Bar Nifli will come. However, though we've used the expression Bar Nifli, and Rav Nachman used that expression in addressing his question to Rav Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok himself doesn't know who Bar Nifli is. And that is what's going to be qualified and explained in the bracketed section. But with the brackets, what we've done is we present a question, and by skipping the bracketed section, you can see immediately the answer to the question. Within the brackets, you have a clarification of the question. We also note in our Gemara markings, we try to offer an explanation for bracketed sections. In this case, we have a star that's in the margin, and you can see the note, Acharei HaSograyim, Reb Yitzchok mityaches l'shelas emas osi Bar Nifli. After the bracketed section, Reb Yitzchok will respond to the question, when is Bar Nifli coming? Besoch HaSograyim, Mevarim mihu Bar Nifli. Within the bracketed section, there will be a clarification of who is this Bar Nifli. So now, let us read the bracketed section. Omar Leh, Reb Yitzchok, who was asked the question, he asks, Man Bar Nifli, who is this Bar Nifli whose time of arrival you, Rav Nachman, are asking about? Omar Leh, Sir Rav Nachman says, Moshiach. Bar Nifli that I was asking about is Moshiach. So he asks in response, in wonderment, Moshiach, Bar Nifli Kar Eslei. The Moshiach, you refer to him by the term Bar Nifli. Amalei In, yes, the term Bar Nifli is appropriate for the Moshiach. Nifli having to do with the word Nafal, fallen. So how does the word fallen tie into the name of the Moshiach? He says, yes, Dichtiv, Bayomahu, that day, the day of salvation, of redemption, Akim es Sukas David Hanofeles, I will set up the sukkah of David that is falling. So the reference to the setting up that which is falling, the falling is a reference of the restoration of the Jewish people to their former glory. That's referred to by the expression sukkas David Hanofeles. Nofeles then meaning having to do with the word falling, and Bar Nifli, who's associated with this period that the Novi is referring to, is also called Bar Nifli. So once that's been clarified, Rav Yitzchok can now offer an answer to the question of when is the Moshiach going to come? With that, we conclude our shiur for today.